Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
And this ain't no shit that I brought to the table. You did in what you posted. What you posted. I'm getting so sick of you not taking accountability or responsibility for your words, brother.
That's right. Welcome
to
the friend zone. Oh, I'm finna tell you.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to tell you.
I'm scared to ask.
Welcome to the, well, she was talking about D.L. Hughley, right? Welcome to the friend zone. We can look into all things that Monique's ass is talking about, right? So she was talking about D.L. Hughley, but the words that she used, okay, are applicable. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to apply them because they're applicable. So like she said, you know, why don't we run that back just so we can get a little clarity?
Yeah, give me one more.
Let's run that back
one time.
Here we go. Yeah, because, you know, we're going to do that. Here we go.
And this ain't no shit that I brought to the table. You did in what you posted. What you posted. I'm getting so sick of you not taking accountability or responsibility for your words, brother.
That's right. She said this ain't no shit she did. It's some shit you posted. And shit she posted. And you're taking accountability for your actions. And guess who is now finally taking accountability for their actions because of the shit they posted and what they said and what they did.
Okay.
Guess who?
And here's where we take a turn.
Who?
Brooklyn Bishop Lamore Miller Whitehead.
Okay. I saw all the there tags with your name on it.
Yeah. Okay. Who it has been waiting. Convicted of wire fraud, attempted extortion.
Oh, brother.
Now, we've been heard about him, and I mean it too.
I am delirious today, friend. I have not slept. Please be easy today.
Me too. So we in trouble. Well,
oh, my God. No.
You and the bishop need to be praying then, okay? Because it's praying time. Now, this lying-ass nigga who we both were introduced to when he said that that church was robbed and it was on video. And it's and amazingly, throngs of people across the country who had the internet. We all, instead of being, we felt bad that a church was being robbed because that's like fighting an old motherfucker. It just don't go together. It don't look right. Right. It's just something you don't do. So robbing a church is bad. But immediately all of our eyes went to the pipe and drape and the printed out step and repeat behind him while he was performing. And then our eyes were drawn to the monogram after monogram after monogram, luxury logo
Gucci pattern suiting
that this man was wearing. Okay. Now, he was walking around looking like I almost offended a whole city of people, so I'm not going to do that. But he was walking around looking like Black Hollywood, okay? And, you know, hey, we immediately noticed that and nobody believed it. Then, of course, as they start cracking and peeling away layers and layers of that stanking-ass onion that we knew his ass was, okay, what did we find out? He's already in court for legislation for several different things. And just this past Monday, a jury found him guilty of wire fraud, attempted extortion, and lying to the goddamn FBI.
Jesus.
At 47 years old, he was accused of looting a parishioner's retirement savings, trying to extort a businessman and other things to fuel his lavish lifestyle. Now, this is, by the way, according to CBS News. So that's on Gayle King.
A retirement savings of a parishioner. That's
this lady had gave him $90,000.
Oh my God, my heart.
To perform some sort of real estate transaction. He took the money, bought a big fixer upper out in Jersey, just like a nigga. Well, we get that one.
Oh,
let's fix
God.
It up, redo the base, we get cabinets and tile. You know what I'm saying? That's what, which ain't nothing wrong with that, but I can hear him saying it like that because appearances mean so much to him.
Words
that he
was willing DJ to Envy.
That he was willing to. It's Caesar. The Caesar salad, ain't he? Because they done chopped his ass up. That motherfucker that he was willing and dealing with, you know what I'm saying? God, but we going to take a pivot because Bishop, you did it and we know that. But since Fran brought up DJ Envy, we're going to talk about it. Yeah. Fuck the Bishop, you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. DJ Envy's legal team and DJ Envy, because he has not been convicted of anything, right? He's not been charged with anything even.
Right? Oh, that's we right. It kind of went away, right?
No, he hasn't been charged with anything, hasn't been convicted of anything. But that other motherfucker, the peanut butter to his jelly, okay? That motherfucker, the two-pack, okay, of his single, that motherfucker is the one who they have been. I mean, he turning on everybody. Everybody turning on him. He been making videos in his car and shit.
He was talking too much, too, on live, making posts.
packing out the Javits and shit. There ain't no way. Ain't even that many houses for sale. Y'all got 700 1,000 motherfuckers in the Javits Center talking about we gonna be real estate moguls and rich. It ain't that much goddamn dilapidated, fixing up ass housing nowhere in this country. But hey, I'm not mad at ambitions and goals. I just want to say great job, DJ Envy. You know what I'm saying? Because you kept that shit up off of you.
Speaking of live streams, did y'all see Miss Netta?
No.
And Charles.
Yeah. I could just be quiet for today, to be honest.
And I didn't want to. And see, I saw the... You can call me Ace of Base because I saw the sign about Miss Netta's body when she turned around. I saw her doing a line dance. And she had on like a pink outfit that was like off the shoulders.
I missed that one.
But the back was concave on the ass.
Mm.
And it was inward on the ass. And I was like, but you're supposed to go the other way. So then when she went to goals and turned around, I was like, oh, okay.
But why did they have her... I don't know.
Because she didn't have to pay for it. That's how. That's
Asante,
the price she paid.
They had Miss Netta in like a thong.
It looked like just that thing Beyonce her chest. Had on the Texas Hold'em cover. You know, it looked like that, them little panties, the metal panties that came halfway up that Beyonce had on. And it was Hold'em.
Miss Netta's nice spice. Netta.
And they were, you know how, you know, before... during the consultations, they're doing the markings with the marker on the body. Yep. They're doing that to her on live while she has on these panties. This is getting out of
ever here, since Miss Netta went off on the
and
internet
you know what, friend?
No.
About
you
people
clicked.
Calling her a woman saying in her
not.
City, she was not. No, I don't go. I don't go. Everybody know me. I don't go nowhere desk. Just like that in my city. I don't never step out of my city. I'm off the Miss Netta train. You know what I'm saying?
I did
either
see that.
Figure it out, pick a side, do what you got to do, or else classify it as what it is because that trying to distance yourself from the community. You know what I'm saying? I take that personally. I don't like that, especially when you're lucky we're watching you. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, your food looks like slop. It looks like that shit they threw out the window at the beginning of Little Shop of Horrors when it's like, uptown where the food is slop. That was that shit Miss Netta be saying is ready for Charles.
That's like those tweets that be cracking me up when people be like, enough time has passed. It's time to tell the truth.
Tell the truth. Miss Netta food looks disgusting. Oh, I'm like, ain't nobody gonna eat that gruel. That's the shit they were serving on The Simpsons. The fuck is that? No wonder Charles is delayed. And walking around, take him a minute. He didn't ate something that reconfigured or rewired something.
Yes.
That's why. That old ass food. You can't tell me Miss Netta don't be leaving stuff out. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way everything. And then I watched, right? Because I couldn't believe it. So I was like, I have to see this to understand it. It was so many steps. She just as bad as what's that other nigga name that don't be washing his hands and measuring?
Oh God, yes.
Well, you know who I'm
with
talking
about. With the bags on him. Yeah,
just doing
yeah.
and making anything, any damn thing. Miss Netta's hands. Now Miss Netta's hands, which when I see Miss Netta's hands, I instantly hear that Bill Withers song. Grandma's hand. Go to church on Sunday morning.
Look,
I see them hands. Okay. And when I saw them hands mixing up them pepper steaks, the pepper steak, hamburger steaks, that's what it was. And she was in there digging around like she was washing hair. She was mixing the meat up like she was washing hair. I was like, ain't no way I'd rather eat literal
this is
shit.
Just, I don't know. The internet is in such an interesting place.
Can I ask you guys a question about the internet?
Please.
Maybe this didn't come across your desk. There's this comedian... And something happened, and I don't know if it's a bit or not. And somebody tweeted yesterday, they were like, I'm unfollowing. This bit has gone on too long. Because I was wondering, I was like, is this a bit?
The teeth.
And so when
I literally was about to say, as soon as you said the bit has gone on too long, I knew exactly where you were
because
going.
I follow him. And when it first happened, I was like, is this real?
I knew it was
or
a bit
not?
As soon as I saw those teeth.
I knew it was a bit, but he's been going, he literally for like days, he keeps like tweeting like, the lady saw and text me and now I had to block her and all this other stuff. And it's like,
what's his name?
Why are you, Jay Nadaj is his
man,
name.
Man, he just makes videos and skits.
Yeah.
And
he's like, he's like 23, 24.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of his content is usually like reenactments.
He's been
or
around
he'll
for a
do
minute,
like characters.
I always see him.
He has been around.
Yeah.
One of his, one of my favorites that I saw was him doing like he'll do like a reenactment of like Moesha or something, or he'll just like play like a mom and daughter.
He looked like Royce from Basketball Wives.
What? No, a little bit, Dustin.
Mousy, kind of mousy. I think I know who you're talking about.
I saw the teeth. I do see that in Dustin's eyes. I do see that in the lens of Dustin, how that could be.
He had them bubble coat teeth. It looked like a layer on a bubble coat. A white jet. It looked like he laid a lighter across his teeth.
But that's why I was like, ain't no way in hell. Ain't no way in hell. I thought
he was in a box. He had a mouthpiece on. Like a mouth guard. Yeah.
Like, I think even Dr. Heavenly tweeted him, like, I'll fix you, baby, or something like that. I was like, what is going on?
I think it was funny. I think it was funny the first day. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't funny the first day. I was mad the first day I saw it. Because I was like, I was mad.
Comedy.
I was mad on day one because I was like, why? I was like, this can't be real. Because, you know, there were a lot of allegations or there were a lot of, you know, mishaps of surgeries and things going across my timeline. I just seen, you know, Meatball Mama and all that. Yeah. So I was like, is this thing can really get bamboozled with his teeth? Because, you know,
who is Meatball Mama?
Meatball's mother.
Meatball from Philly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, shit. What happened to her mom?
She went to Ghost. Is that the name of the place?
Okay.
And they did a number on her. And so Meatball was on live crying.
No.
Is that real?
I don't know if that's real.
See, this is getting
There's nothing ahead. Fun about this gray area of bad Skits. Acting and crisis situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not talent to me. And I'm not a hater. I think there's room for everybody. And if you getting it and making money doing this shit, do you. But, like, that's not a talent to me. You know what I'm saying?
I hate it because I've gotten to the point where somebody could be for real and my mind is already like, I don't know.
That's not fun.
Like, that's to me.
It's a lot of people crying wolf.
And that's just outside of AI, which is already causing all kinds of problems. But now with
Donald Trump had that picture with all them black people with the hands like this. That was all them AI hands, all them black people with the AI hands. It looked like it was a picture Republicans were circulating where Donald Trump was surrounded by all these black people. It looked like they were embracing them.
But when you really looked at it,
because the hands was like, they was AI hands.
The four fingers and shit.
Yeah, so, you know.
Y'all, what
that's going on, too. What a world we live in, though, friend, where you thought somebody's name was Meatball Mama.
I mean, nowadays, you know,
that could have been a whole personality. Meatball Mama. Coming to the stage. Can you imagine Tamron Hall introducing her? Next up, we have, coming to the stage, Meatball Mama. Meatball Mama. Tamron Hall, what y'all think about her interview style?
Chicken salad lady.
Never sat and actually watched the Tamron Hall. I told you I saw her. She was on 34th Street last time I was in New York.
Okay.
I was walking crossing the street and I was like, that is Tamron Hall. she's so pretty. But I honestly have never watched her show, so I can't speak to how she
Have you watched interviews. It, Asante?
Yeah, I've watched some pieces of her interviews.
What do you think?
Like, I watched like clips on YouTube.
But never like, you don't spend time watching
her. Not the full.
People take issue sometimes with her questioning style. Tamron, to me, is somebody who is very centered in the science of journalism, right? She is a journalist through and through. And that's the approach that she takes with conversations that some people may like for her to be a little bit lighter with, per se. Me personally, I enjoy it because it's direct and clear. And to me, it's what the game's been missing.
The hard,
you know what I'm saying?
She's asking hard-hitting questions. I'm sorry. I love what journalists say.
I love it. It makes me feel like I'm watching 2020, Nightline, all that shit. You know, I love that. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for Tamron Hall. And one of the things that I'll never forget is when I was at Mary J. Blige's birthday party like 2 years ago or last year. I was at her birthday party and Tamron Hall came in there and she looked gorgeous. She had on a really dope dress.
Very, very beautiful.
Ooh, she looked, she looked good. And Mary was on the stage. And so Mary was giving shout outs to people who, you know, her friends that were in the audience or whatever. And she was like, and Tamron fucking Hall. That's what she said. I just never forget that.
I love that.
I never forget that. I got a video of it somewhere in my phone. I got to find it. But it's like Tamron fucking Hall. And me and my friend LaTroy busted out laughing.
Oh, no. The two wrong people be standing there.
Dangerous duo.
We was cracking up. But yeah, that's my Tamron Hall story.
No, I've never watched. But I did see that Reese Tisa was on there. Did y'all see that?
I think I watched that.
I saw on Twitter it was a clip that was circulating. It wasn't a pleasant clip because she was talking about all the backlash she's been receiving, and especially with the Breakfast Club and all the awful shit that Charlamagne was saying. So that made me sad for Reese Tisa, but it's fascinating seeing Reese Tisa taking the media. I mean, she's in the blitz right now. Media
did you see
blitz.
Her South by Southwest?
I sure did.
Yep.
Mama been sure full did. Glam. She had
full
her makeup
glam,
done and
photo
shit.
Photo shoots. She got signed by, what is it, CAA?
CAA. Yep. She's ready anyway for, she's ready for, she's ready. She's presentable if for the sake of this conversation.
Sure.
She's super articulate. She's an excellent communicator, which is what got her here in the first place.
That's really it. She speaks so calmly. And I was happy to see that even in front of cameras, because people don't realize you could film whatever at home.
In that car. Mm-hmm. In the bathroom.
Okay. In that living room, in that little corner in your kitchen. But
with
once some
light.
cameras are on your face, that's the a light.
They started putting her through them little the rings, and when they seen her on Tamron Hall and all, they were like, oh, you know, we got something.
No,
here.
She
we
got
keep
it.
This going.
She definitely
and she does.
She seemed very grounded, even in the interviews and on with all these sponsorships that she's doing now.
I really wish we called her something else.
Well, her name is, they announced what her name was. Isn't it like, is it Teresa? I might be
what we be
up.
Saying, Teresa Tisa. And I wish
well,
we called
her
something
her Zora.
Else.
Was that Zora? Was that the name of the girl? That,
Zola.
Zola.
Zola. Yeah, she on her
shout
Zola.
Out to Zola it's Moon.
Zola Moon.
Reese Tisa.
I'm happy for
yeah.
her.
Reese Tisa sounds like a pizza job. Or maybe even not a pizza shop, maybe like a really cute, like pastry and coffee shop. Risa Tisa, maybe in Italy somewhere, you know? I don't know. Speaking of which, did y'all know that Tyra Banks had an ice cream company?
What?
It's called Smot. Mm-hmm. Listen, I fell down a rabbit hole.
Smot.
Let me tell you what happened. No. No,
friend. Oh,
you stopped
at Smize.
Smize and Dream. I'm sorry. It's called Smize and Dream. Smize and
Dream.
Because
you stopped at Smize. And I was right there with friends. I was like,
so I went down a rabbit hole on Instagram the other day. I was waiting on some food. Waiting on some food. And somebody posted a picture of Tyra Banks in like a Storm costume. And it was a side by side with like, a picture of the cartoon Storm, and it was a really bad costume.
Oh boy.
And people were like, now Tyra. And so I was like, damn, Tyra be tripping. Let me go to her Instagram and see what's up with her.
That'll do.
So I went to her Instagram and I saw that she has an ice cream trunk, not truck, trunk, which
what
is essentially like a trailer, like a hitch trailer. You know what I'm saying? That they've put a wrap on and a graphic to make it resemble a older, like, you know, like the Louis Vuitton
the
trunks, a Foot Locker style trunks.
Okay, okay.
That's what the wrap is kind of made to look like. The ice cream company. And so she has one currently in Dubai right now.
Interesting.
It's called the Smize and Dream. And they have these really, really weird ads. I'm going to show you one of the ads for it right now because
I
thought
this
shit.
Google because you are like, I can't wait.
I thought this shit was really like, okay, like, look, this is the ad.
Smize and Dream.
Yellow roses mean friendship, but don't hate on the friend zone, baby, because our yellow roses ice cream has pink rose cookie dough. Oh yeah, baby. Don't hate.
But is it just me, but is that not so Tyra Banks?
Yellow roses mean friendship, but don't hate on the friend zone, baby, because our yellow roses ice cream
okay.
is pink rose cookie dough.
Not oh, yeah, playing baby. It again.
Don't hate.
I'm adding that
why
to my jukebox.
Why would she say, oh yeah, baby,
don't hate.
Like, So what? I had just smoked this shit, y'all. I was like,
it is.
What the fuck is going on?
Ghetto.
Oh, she's so funny.
Oh, the little cartoon drawings are really taking me out. Mm-hmm. I should not be here.
I mean, it's bad. And
can you
buy it?
Can you order it? Or is just letting you know it exists somewhere in the world?
Well, she has. Let me see.
Okay,
so
on this website, I don't see
options to buy.
Our locations. Okay, it just keeps taking me back to this one page. So I guess I have to scroll this whole one page.
It looks like in the U.S. they're just doing, it says catering parties and events. To have our creamy, dreamy ice cream experience at your special event, tell us what you need. So it looks like they're only taking requests for, and here's a look at what the packaging looks like. And at the bottom of every like serving, right, if you order one, they put a little prize, they say, in a chocolate truffle. So that's at the bottom of everything you get from them.
Well,
there's
that's
a prize
cool.
and a little chocolate truffle. Yeah, but that don't make me want to. So
who is this white woman in the branding?
Tyra.
Don't hate.
That's Tyra.
So this company is, I guess, based in Lawndale, California, but all of the locations are in Dubai. But apparently their new experiential flagship is coming this year in Inglewood, California.
What is Inglewood going to do with this weird ass ice cream?
Inglewood, California. Tyra is coming home.
Do y'all see the ice cream names? Yes. Serve us s'more.
I didn't want to do that. I didn't. When you heard me say I shouldn't be here, I was looking through those and I was.
Yes. This is great. No, I love it.
But did you see butter pecan but better?
Lionel Richie's really weird. All Night Love. Come on, you guys. This is so camp.
Purple Cookie Monstar and me.
How you was a model and you take old nigga pictures on Instagram? You literally a model. Look at this. First of all, why
Those
is this
the ones
on the
I
page?
Be deleting on my phone.
She talking about show me your chill smize. Tag it, smize chill. We'll definitely be reposting the chillest ones. Go, mind you, they didn't repost anything.
Oh, this is like the J Lo challenge on Twitter.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, did you see what the vanilla flavor? What it's called?
No,
no. What is it? I'm trying to find.
Not chocolate. And then there are strawberries and that salted cream. This rabbit hole, I'm so upset by it. I'm very much upset.
Is Tyra Banks going through some shit before I start talking too much shit? Is she all
Do
right?
I don't know. I really haven't been following Tyra. I think it's
because I know
funny.
She got a baby now. But you know,
she
like people. Yeah, she got a little boy named York.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Did she post him or it's like a private thing? Mm-mm.
She too busy doing this.
Dustin, please.
Want a collab? We're all about partnerships, sponsorships.
No, I don't, Tyra. I ain't going to hold you. I love Tyra Banks as a celebrity and shit, but I don't want none
as
of this ice cream.
As a concept.
As a concept.
Wait.
Here go the proof of. Right here, bitch, never lost it. What the hell happened to Tyra Banks? Where did the pivot go? Tell me where the road turned. Where did the road turn? What happened to Tyra Banks? Tyra Banks used to be the shit, didn't she? Y'all know Tyra Banks was the shit. Don't you remember when she was on the Fresh Prince and shit?
But she was always a little kooky though. Like, remember her show, the shit she would have people do? Like, she was always a little kooky.
Remember on that one part when she was repeating what the family had said? Get the off the TV. So people started,
I feel like, I just retweeted
clipping it.
So people started clipping it and using it. She's sitting on the couch on her sofa on the show with her arm, and she's like, get the off the TV.
No. That is not funny.
Amazing television. Great television.
I liked her show, but back to Tyra Banks. We need this is a wellness check.
Not you saying Tyra is in distress.
This is a wellness check on Tyra Banks, because that was
I don't know.
You know what's funny?
What was
IG.
That?
This is not related, because it does not make any sense. But when I saw that Instagram photo of her, my first thought was, is Tyra in distress? Because you know who be looking like that?
Pinky Doll.
Katie from Real Housewives.
Who? Kate?
Katie from Housewives of Potomac.
And she struggles.
Katie. Oh, Katie and she does from struggle. Season mm-hmm. one.
And did you see what she just posted? She just posted something random.
She what, that she fucked Sharice? She said she fucked Sharice in the garage.
I remember that. This was like mm-hmm. months ago though, right? I remember
yeah, she said she that. Fucked her.
That came
she
across my desk.
She said she fucked Sharice. And now, I was like, out of all true? The motherfuckers on the show, with Katie, I believe her. She don't give a fuck what come out her mouth. She say any damn thing. And so when she said that she had fucked wow. Sharice. Oh, and Sharice nasty and be drunk all the time full
you
of that champagne.
You
want to
talk about plot twists? Because I would mm. never, yeah. ever.
I wouldn't even think they would look each other in the eye long enough. Sharice don't look at nothing. Sharice just be, yeah. You know, and she one of the people that look around the room while she's talking to you. So apparently her and Katie locked eyes and then locked lips.
This is hysterical.
See, they were sisters. She did, Fran. Did she say she fucked Sharice?
She did. I saw that.
She did. She fucked her. Yeah, mm-hmm. in the garage, right? They was in a garage at somebody's house. Katie said she fucked Sharice.
Please save me.
And Sharice be fucking. You know, she drunk, mad at her ex-husband. She had to move out. They was in her new townhome on this episode. You know, Sharice always loved to throw that house in the other lady's face. Remember when she had that champagne room?
What other lady?
That shit? The other ladies, period.
She oh, like she I thought she I thought
Karen
she
didn't
they...
live in Potomac, and this oh, one didn't yeah. do this. This one didn't have that. Well, guess what, Sharice? The garage you fucked in, you don't even live in that house no more.
You in the same garage?
Yeah,
she brought it back around.
I still have it. I did finally catch up on what is it? Oh my God, slipped my
Potomac.
Mind. No. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50. They have washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and my personal fave, 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I've mentioned that I purchased a couple of cute stackable rings on Quince. I've been wearing them pretty much daily. They're part of my daily jewelry routine at this point, and they're holding up really well. It's good quality gold. And the best part was that it was affordable, and you have a lot of cute gold jewelry to choose from. I know it seems random. It's like they have clothing, they have jewelry, but honestly, the fact that they cut out the middleman allows you to get it for a really, really reasonable price. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/friend for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/friend to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/friend. Married to Medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm finally
you,
all
you
caught
part
up.
Part two of the reunion?
No, I'm not. I'm on part one, but I need to get to part okay. two. But I had been behind.
What you think?
Because this season was moving a little slow.
It was all over the place to me.
Yeah.
The season
lots
or the
of
reunion?
Season, but not enough.
This season?
It just felt like they were kind of scrambling for stories, I guess. So it seemed like they're having a hard time this season. I still love them though, so I watched.
Always, for sure.
Yeah,
I think that they did not. There's no way I would have been on a show with Phaedra lying ass Parks, okay, and not asked her about that candy shit from Real Housewives. Now, it's Dr. Heavenly said that Phaedra told production that she didn't want nobody asking her about Housewives. This is a different show. I wouldn't have gave.
I would have
put
that in my contract too. Let me live.
And I would have asked you anyway. Not you. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but I would have asked her anyway. You know what I'm saying? Mm. For real. Yeah. Like,
especially with all the things that she did not bring to the season, it was like the least you could have done was get, you know, answered.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I will say. I didn't really ever watch Housewives of Atlanta like that. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't familiar, too familiar, I should say, with Phaedra as a personality. But I always thought she was, I don't know. I guess I didn't know what she was like. I thought she was more hyped energetically. So I didn't know how she was going to fit. And she was very like, you know, calm.
You probably seen the clips of her like doing the rehearsed reads on the reunions and the
maybe
stuff.
That's
so you thought
it
she
is.
Was going to be like,
because I was like, how is she going to fit? Yeah. But she seemed pretty chill, you know, with the Reiki and.
Well, she was, it was also her kind of, you know, back to Bravo moment. So she was, you know, trying to really, set herself up for it. She was coming back to Housewives of Atlanta or whatever the conversation or
it was like
things that people think can happen.
When you was a kid and you got them fireworks and like one of the fireworks was a dud, it didn't do nothing. Like you lit it and it just went.
The ones you would throw on the ground and they'd click clack. Remember
yeah,
those?
And nothing would happen. That's the one Phaedra was. I think people really thought she was going to be so exciting back on television and everybody. Claimed they missed her so much when, like, in the words of Quiet Webb, who was just co-hosting on TGIF on Fox Soul, and she said that she was co-hosting. They have a permanent new host too. Shout out to Armand Wiggins. He got the seat.
They just
I think he's very qualified, a great choice. He's a natural in that chair. So absolutely. Yep. But when Quiet was on there, she was like, they asked her about Phaedra saying on the reunion, which you'll see in the upcoming episodes, friend. Mm-hmm. Phaedra says that when they asked Phaedra about her distancing herself from Quiet, she made an analogy. She said, well, why would I want to attach myself to the Titanic? Right. Ooh. And so Quiet, instead of checking her ass right there in the moment, which that's what pisses me off about Quiet. I love Quiet, but you've got to get in the paint a little bit
she
more,
freezes.
Sweetheart. And a reunion sage, like we've seen you do it before. So I don't know where it was this time around, but once Quiet watched it back on TV, she was tweeting about it. And then when she went to co-host on TGIF, she said, well, we do know that the Candy Burris benched her for 5 years and had her on the bench sitting somewhere. Mm. So she threw that in there and it was good. You know what I'm saying? And Phaedra was benched for lying. You know what I'm saying? So but I don't know why Phaedra people anticipated her coming back doing anything. She was a dud to me in the first damn place on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I never ever enjoyed her.
I semi enjoyed her on there, but she didn't fit to me on there. Like she would have moments I'd kind of be like, oh, hey. But it's also it felt like very put on because it was her mama passed Regina Bell and her doing the, you know, Lord Jesus thing. It wasn't really. You know, we got all that on Married to Medicine. You know, we got our Lord Jesus's, but we still get in the paint yelling and holding bitches accountable and, you know, arguing with our husbands and putting our business out there. So it's like Phaedra was like trying to do one thing, but she wasn't doing enough of any one thing, let alone us being interested in anything she was doing. That's how I felt. But I will say she did give me a nod on Traitors, which is a completely different type of show, completely different setup. She had like a fresh, you know, slate on there and she was able to shine in a house of deceit because she was able to deceive.
My theory about her participation on Traitors, you know, she only was highlighted as much as she was because she was chosen to be a traitor. Had Phaedra been a faithful, there was nothing she was doing behavior-wise or exhibiting any skill or savvy that would have made her a star player on that show. We only watched her behavior and noticed her choices as much as we did because she was chosen to be a traitor. I don't think she performed well as a traitor. I don't think she was able to think the moment that they suspected her of being a traitor, she lost it and gave up. And got eliminated the moment the heat was on her. I don't think she had the wherewithal. I don't think she was a smart, good game player on that show at all. I think people just haven't seen her on TV in a while. And again, she was chosen to be a traitor. So we're naturally watching her. I don't know if you're familiar with the premise of the show, friend, but the people who are chosen to be the traitors are the ones to watch because they are making the happenings of the game take place. Okay. And she wasn't even making smart choices as such. She should have been killed, Trishelle. She should have been killed.
She didn't have no plan.
She had no plan, no strategy.
She literally
whatsoever.
Was just like, because I agree with you, because I watched Traitors. I watched the Australian version. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. You know what I'm saying?
And I still need to watch.
Me too. I got to watch it on the day.
You know, if you ever feel like going down under. I just really enjoyed the game itself and watching it. And there are leaders that emerge. And not that Phaedra wouldn't have emerged, but some of the characters, how they just came off so strong, like, you know, the dude from The Bachelor, even old girl, you know, the white girl that was fighting for the shield at one point, even Trishelle's ass. Like, there were people that, like, naturally came out as leaders. And then there were people that just kind of fell all the way to the back. And I feel like Phaedra was one of those girls. Maybe she wouldn't have fallen all the way to the back, like where Sheree was, because Sheree wasn't doing a damn thing. But I just Sheree don't just see
got
Phaedra
up and went to breakfast every day.
Yeah, like Phaedra really was selling herself because she was being so cute. Like, you know, she named the whole cast. Like, you know, when they were doing the reunion, like all the little nicknames, it was because of Phaedra, what she was saying. It's not like they were going back like, Phaedra, when you did this, you did a cool ass right. move. And they were in a house full of people that were game players. And then they were in a house because, you know, the other two, they were from Big Brother, the other two traders. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they were playing with the challenge players from MTV and the CBS Survivor and all that. But then it was like the Bravo celebrities. And that's why they were trying to say the gamers versus, you know, the Bravo celebrities or whatever. And that's why it made a difference. But I feel like Phaedra was just cute to watch because of her little quirkyisms. It wasn't like she was just like
it wasn't like game related.
It wasn't game related. Mm-hmm. Like, even when she had to, like, there were hot moments with Phaedra because she had, like, fight for her life in the boardroom. But even those hot moments were just because you were watching Phaedra fight for her life. It wasn't because she was actually, you know, turning deceit on anybody else or doing something really smart.
Or like, advancing the game in a strategic, intentional way. She wasn't. She was just dealing with what came her way because of the position she was in. It wasn't like she was making any sort of decisions to advance the game in any way. It was just a bunch of nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel. Just like her participation on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. A bunch of nothing. Nothing. Like, literally nothing. Phaedra, I am always underwhelmed by her. Again, I'm not a hater, so get it how you live. But when you're willing to do anything and say anything and lie on anybody, the way that she lied on Candy, like, that was some deep down disgusting lies that she told on her. And to me, it just, like, that says more about you. So I don't care about her saying Kenya Moore had to get a pizza box or some shit or whatever that rehearsed shit was she said years ago on The Real Housewives of Atlanta that people seem to love. It don't do nothing for me. I'm underwhelmed.
I'm surprised Bravo let her, like, still be a part of the thing, you know?
Fans love her. And that equates to viewership, which equates to money for them. So that's where their mind is.
That's tricky. I would have been pissed if I was Candy. Because you can't do that. You could have destroyed my life.
Candy
know?
Was that's pissed. And that's why Candy said that as long as Phaedra, if Phaedra was ever to be a part of that show, then she would leave. She was like, I ain't saying she can't come back. She was like, but I'm not going to work with her. So,
right. Just bottom line.
Yeah, somebody else to do it.
Straight up.
Speaking of wellness checks, did y'all watch the Wendy special?
You know I did. I watched the whole thing.
I couldn't get through the whole thing, man.
It's hard. It's sad.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to watch it initially, but I just felt called at some point over the weekend. And I was like, let me watch it and see. And I couldn't get past the first episode. It was so sad. So sad. And I admittedly, because I know people love Wendy, like she's such a fabric of media, you know, and a lot of people's early morning commutes and just radio in general, radio history, really. I never felt called to Wendy, to be honest. I always thought she was mean as hell. But you can't deny her impact, you know, and the road she's paved for media in general, Black media especially. Well, not for sure. Say Black media, just media period, because everybody loves Wendy for real.
But she she reported like on a lot of Black stories, so you can't say her friend.
Right. I'm just thinking of the audience in her show when she was on TV finally. Right? That was a very diverse audience. It definitely wasn't Black show. Yeah, but it to see her like that, knowing how many years we've seen her like in her glory days, that was really sad. Just on a human level.
It's a lot. And I definitely feel like she's being taken advantage of. I think there are obvious pressing cognitive issues.
Right.
So, you know, that's one thing. And I did watch the complete documentary. Shout out to Lifetime. If anybody wants to watch it, you can watch it on the Lifetime app. as well as other places, I'm sure, but I know it lives there. And when she was in Miami briefly under the care of her son, Wendy
she
was
like
getting
so
healthy,
happy, eating well.
She was getting healthy. So that changing, I think, is where the pivot of detriment took place. And whatever people's motivations are to have that conservator in place, and whatever that conservator's motivations are, which is not in question, because of course, the internet sleuths of the viewers of this documentary, they found out who the conservator is. They've identified her by name.
Oh,
they've
shit.
Looked up. It's a white woman. I can't remember her name, but she has a history. She's been sued before for misappropriating something connected to doing something inappropriate with over someone's conservatorship. So there's a lot of questions there.
I hate that.
I think people are kind of quick to discount her son because of his age and his competency to like manage her care at this stage.
Which is understandable, but
for sure, right. But he's already done it successfully.
Right. She was at her healthiest under his care. Yeah.
And when he speaks, he spoke clearly and directly to what he needed to. Mm-hmm. He was very clear on his mother's care, very clear on his intentions or her well-being being a priority for him. That boy deserves a chance. And I don't know who he has that can advocate on his behalf because he is young.
Right. So he needs pressure for him to try to organize such an estate, you know,
a lot of processes that he may or may not understand, although he seemed very smart to me.
Right.
So I just would like for him to be given the responsibility of managing his mother's care and staffing her needs.
Right.
I think that he is the one, him and his cousin, her nephew. Those two black boys were smart as fuck.
They were
very clear on Wendy's needs and what she didn't need to do. And she was even clear. She said that they hated that she likes alcohol. Her sister hated that. And her son hates that she can't have any alcohol around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were handling the business for Wendy. So them two smart black boys, them young black men, I should say, they deserve a shot at managing Wendy's care for real and not those people that are around her. I heard that the publicist is out of there now. Sean Zanotti, the girl that nobody trusted
from
the documentary. I'm not sure if you made it that far, but
no, I just saw the guy like with
the manager.
Yeah.
Will Selby, who was her jeweler.
Her jeweler.
Turned manager, friend.
I didn't catch him being her jeweler, but I did. You know how you could just sense some shit. I'm like, how did this guy come into the picture?
What happened, friend? When he came on the screen, all your plant leaves was like.
You joke, but we was all looking around like, you know that video with the little boy and his dad when they go I was like, hold
like,
on
this
now.
Nigga ain't shit. Yeah, I know, friend.
Oh,
and it is
so
hard to see
sad.
Her like that. Rambling,
it's hard to see anybody like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all remember when my grandmother was going through dementia her last year here? And that was so challenging. So challenging. The levels too, being when they come in and out of lucidity, the violence, you know. I did see people speaking on that too online on Twitter about her being so violent and mean, but that's really what happens.
Man, she don't know what the fuck she talking about. She's
my grandmother was
issues.
Trying
yeah.
to fucking punch me in my face. She was smacking the shit like it was very it was challenging.
My grandfather did that. So both I lost two grandparents who suffered dementia, right? In my
Man,
life experience.
So
my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, and my paternal grandmother.
Same.
And my paternal grandmother, she wasn't violent or anything like
Same.
That. And she held on to, even through her dementia diagnosis, she cognitively just held on as long as she possibly could. Her physical health declined more so. My grandfather, he experienced more spots of like the mental, you know, decline of cognitive issues. But it was funny. He would try to swing on my mama and them and shit, but we would be laughing. You know what I'm saying?
So
it was funny. And the thing about it was.
It ain't funny when they catch you, though.
The thing about it was.
I don't even
think he was trying to hit that. He just was being, you know. And my grandfather was funny anyway. Like, that's where I get a lot of my humor from. Both my grandfathers, actually. But he would never, he never forgot me. When we were in the last days of his decline, he would be forgetting shit, and we would have to repeat a lot of things to him, but he knew who I was, and he never swung on me. You know what I'm saying? He treated me like he always did. So when he was trying to two-piece my mama and them, yes. Were we laughing? Well, yes.
No, he didn't. That shit is sad, man.
Because you know they don't know what they're doing.
No,
you know what
I'm saying? I know.
And it's not funny when you're experiencing it, but it's, you know.
But in
you
hindsight,
can separate it, you know, from the
person.
But see, that shit was funny.
When she was being so mean to the nail girl, that's the episode I saw.
Oh, she was like, I wish you would get liposuction. That's what she said. Oh, no, that's what she said to the, what this said to the nail girl or the publicist?
That was, I think that was the nail girl. Yeah. And being
and
like,
oh,
one
she's
cup.
She's mad at me.
Yeah. And then looking to the side. And then all the patience, though, the nail girl had patience.
She did, but she also looked
sensitive.
At them and it's like, bitch, if you better be glad you ain't got it right now. Okay. Because, bitch, if you was in your right mind, bitch, we would go for it. That's what it looked like she said.
And I have to shout out the caregivers, you know, that stick with it. And also the home attendants that the hospitals dispatch to these households, because they go through a lot. I remember the home attendant from my grandma. She had a patience that I had never witnessed in life. She just was so calm. Anything my grandma would say, no matter how off the wall, the lady was just like, I hear you, you know, okay, Miss Maria, like just patience and love. And I know some of them be evil and beating the old people. We seen those videos too. So
that's the
God
kind of
forbid,
shit.
But
I saw a lady abusing a young girl the other day, roughhousing her and shit. And the mama had caught her on like the nanny cam or whatever.
Oh, my. That's like my
that kind of
nightmare.
That kind of shit right there. Woo. Like that kind of evil.
It's that, just that different, is, right?
It's unspeakable, man. And when you think about people abusing the elderly, people who have no defense, no way of defending themselves, that's just a different kind of sinister evil nature that you really pay for in the end to me.
I hate how you have that distrust too, because when my grandmother in her final days was in hospice? And like rehab, and I couldn't rest, you know, like I would come every day because I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know what they're doing to her in here. And she's not in a position to express herself clearly, you know, or
that's
to be like, hey, this person's doing this. And they know that. So I'd be monitoring everything when I would come. I would check her arms, the back of her
head,
like
every
her feet,
damn thing.
Just, oh, I hated that feeling. Such a scary
It's really
world.
Scary. Very scary. And I advise anyone who is dependent upon someone else to be a caretaker in any capacity, be it a nanny, a babysitter, be it someone for adult care like that, camera that home down.
That's
have cameras on 24/7, every angle of the room.
Yeah,
absolutely. Every room, every fucking room in your house, any area that person has access to, and even the ones that they don't. You put cameras in that shit and monitor them the entire time, no matter how much you trust them, no matter how well you think you know them. If they looking after your people or your babies, fucking monitor them, because motherfuckers are doing crazy ass shit. Crazy shit.
You didn't see that new series on Netflix? Is it Netflix? The program? We're actually going to talk about it next week, because I was blown. Like, I'll only say some small parts, because obviously I want to get more in depth next week, and it'll give you guys the opportunity to watch it so that we could really dig in.
Is this
week.
A doc? Is it scripted?
It's a series. It's a docu-series on Netflix about those programs that people send their kids to when the kids are misbehaving, you know, like the behavioral correctional programs. But these are like not... what's the word I'm looking
certified
for?
Certified or...
Right, they're not certified. They're not regulated.
They're non-traditional.
That's the
oh,
word.
Not regulated.
Okay. They're not regulated by any agencies. Like, it's scary. This was a complete gray area for me. I had no idea that this existed. I knew that these programs existed, but I don't know why I always thought they were, like, government run, government funded. Not that that would be any better, as we know.
But you would think those guidelines of some sort would be in place.
Yeah. Some type of federal regulation, something. But no,
possible these are consequence.
These are just random programs popping up, ran by whoever the fuck. And the things that these kids are going through. Oh,
man, that's going to fuck me
and
up.
This
How
is
many
current?
Episodes, friend?
I don't remember. Maybe 4 or 5, mm-hmm. I think. But it's such a compelling watch. And it's so mm-hmm. shocking because, I don't know, this is such a weird world. It's like you know the shit that goes down and you almost don't get surprised. And somehow I still get surprised. Like, how much darker can this fucking world get? Mm-hmm. You know, the shit that's going on to this day. And the thing is, people know who's running these programs. They have been put out there, their names, down to why they're doing it, how they're doing it. And still, there's no intervention. No one is stepping in because this is sinister shit that the government is low-key a part of because they get kickbacks from the Mormons. And they're allowing it. Yo, it is dark. Wait till y'all watch it. Those of you listening too, we're going to get into it next week's episode because we just have to. We have to be a part of people yelling about this because I cannot believe that this exists in 2024.
Well, I'm already pissed off.
Oh, you're going to be livid.
I hate
and these
it
are kids.
Like
these
kids.
Are kids. Like I'm talking about kids, high school kids. Middle school kids.
That's going to be fucked up for the rest of their life behind these ignorant ass people.
And that's what the doc was. It was survivors of these programs came together because apparently till this day, their parents didn't really fully believe that they went through what they went through on some like you just being dramatic. You know, you just didn't want to go.
They sent them in the first place. Right. I question people who send their kids to those kind of programs in general. You know, that's what Paris Hilton said fucked her up.
There were clips of her in the doc because she's been a spokesperson for these programs. Just how which I didn't even know that she was sent away to one of these programs. I'm like, her rich ass.
In the past few years, she's been pretty vocal about it. That's the only way I've come to understand it because she's done several interviews telling her story, you know, and it's the most serious I've ever seen her when she's speaking about it. So I know that shit really happened.
It was real.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Y'all gotta watch it. It's devastating. Like, and we already going through a lot. So I wasn't necessarily trying to watch any more heavy shit, but I just couldn't
help
it.
But it also gives us somebody new to cuss out. So I'm open to it.
I'm like, there's enough going on in the world that we're already trying to make sense of.
And now we got somebody new to take it out on. So I'm glad.
And I hate that it always goes back to the fucking government. Like, what are we doing?
It's sad because you already said it. It's one of those things where it's like, it's not surprising.
But it is, but it's not. Here we are. It's just like never ending.
Like,
and I don't know. I was going to bring up too. Did y'all see the guy? I had to mention him because it just was really mind blowing. The guy, Aaron Bushnell, that burned himself alive. The U.S.
Yes.
Outside of the Israeli embassy. It tied into, it reminded me so much of that episode that we had a couple weeks back where it's like, how much would you be willing to sacrifice for liberation? And to see that he has had enough, like he was so overcome with grief and anger and frustration and that feeling of hopelessness that a lot of us are feeling. And remember we discussed in that episode where I was like, there was the journalist from Al Jazeera that his whole family has been wiped out because he's speaking out and he's still continuously speaking out. And then this young man put his phone down in front of the Israeli embassy. He was only 25 years old, member of the U.S. Air Force too, which to me was huge. This was a white man, okay? And he
was.
He put his phone to stream it. And burned himself alive. And unfortunately, he couldn't sustain the injuries and passed. But he was yelling Free Palestine while it was happening. Ain't that like...
it's that serious, right? What's going on?
I mean,
I just would have protested in another way, personally. You know,
but this is how deeply, see, but this is how deeply he felt it. Like, that to me was like, and I'm seeing a lot of activists and people that are discussing it, like really grieving this. Their mental health is just tanking. Like, I'm like, I don't know how many more days, you know?
This has because been it's that ongoing. When you think about the actuality,
and no one's doing anything about it.
It's crazy. It really will fuck you up. So, listen, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And even reading that story
in our lifetime,
like it screeches. It brings you to a screeching halt mentally when you read
and seeing
that
the numbers and the videos of the kids. Like, it's. It's
every
like
day.
What can
every day
and then Biden then did y'all fucking, see he was licking ice cream in a clip, like casually talking about it, just eating an ice cream cone. That shit irked me so much. And these are the options for election.
You know what irked me even more?
Him and Trump.
Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, going to
I
Israel
saw her at a table. I saw her sitting at a table in Israel talking to some whoever she was talking to. See, that's the kind of person I am. I have to see things for myself. I can't just read
girl,
it on the internet.
This
is the kind of person I am. You understand? I have to, like, I'm a visual person. I have to see it to learn it. And then in Israel, though, you ain't over in Gaza where it's going down at.
And wasn't she doing stand-up in Israel? So really, she got booked for a gig.
I didn't know that.
Wasn't there a clip of her doing stand-up?
I didn't see that. God. I don't know. But if it doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
I have to double check that. So don't mark my words on that. But I feel like there was a clip of her doing stand-up. And in my mind, she got booked for a gig there and had to figure out a way. You know what I mean? Like, that was just a way to get around it. Because she knew people was going to be talking about it.
Listen, your views are your views, and we're all entitled to our own views, blah, 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 right? But that was fucking stupid to me. Sitting over there explaining yourself, you think you're... I just hate to see people... You know what? I hate to see people feel like they have the big idea or they've realized... they've come to a realization that is enlightening when they're really just spewing things that are less than smart. Right. I hate to see that.
To and that's try how to she separate themselves from the pack or like the mob mentality as people like
when
to
people
put it.
Who are informed on the history of these political, you know, global conflicts are looking at you and recognizing just how uninformed you are, how fucking stupid you sound. Sitting
and what
there.
Do you need to go check? It's a genocide that we're witnessing. What proof do you need exactly to see yourself? What are they going to tell you that's going to change how you, like...
And for what? What you going to do?
And who are you?
What are you going to do?
Who you going to disarm, mama? You know? And I'm not saying that, you know, every
and
voice
this
matters
content.
Essentially, but
no,
God
but this
damn.
Isn't content. This isn't content. This isn't content for you to film yourself in first class drinking champagne. That's what really blew me. Her and Biden eating the fucking ice cream. This isn't content.
Well, you know what? I blame them Trumps. I'm just gonna tell you. I blame
and then
them Trumps
Trump,
for all this shit.
You see, Trump is doing so well.
No,
y'all,
he ain't, girl.
Trump is gonna be president. I really
he
believe
not.
It.
Just gonna,
I really
not.
Believe it. I feel like they're gonna do something.
We're caught up in a world where we are consistently inundated, right, with what people online are
talking
about.
Want us to believe.
And want us to believe. Every single setting I see that
the
vice president and fuck the polls, too, even though Joe Biden is winning in those polls, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I see Joe Biden in these rooms in real world settings, when I see Vice President Harris in these rooms in real world settings and shit, there's bodies and people there that support this. When I was at the fucking championship out in the fucking Lions versus the 49ers out in California at Levi's Stadium, there was a young lady, white girl in front of me who literally was walking with her white, very white family. They didn't have black scents and long nails and wigs and shit. They were very white people, right? And as we're walking into this stadium in racist ass California, right? This girl, we're walking, somebody had put a Trump 2024 sticker on one of the poles.
She without breaking stride,
she peeled that shit off and threw it down on the ground. And so there's a lot more people who are in opposition of that. I think that messaging is just so jarring and so offensive that it hits a little bit different, that people are actually supporting that. No matter how many they are, the fact that people are attaching themselves to that is shocking to us, and it feels threatening. You know what I'm saying?
It feels overwhelming, right? Because it's like, y'all want another term of that, but he has such a core base of people that truly align.
Already making promises. His first act as president, if he gets elected, would be to free all the January 6th hostages who are being wrongfully
held. That's what he said.
Already. He's already talking all that shit. So I'm just, you know, people like Seth Meyers who are reminding their very large audiences of the fact that this motherfucker has 91 felonies and itemizing them like he just did the other night. That's what we need.
But here's a problem I have. How is he still able to run when he's in the middle of all this litigation?
You know how?
Like, why is that legal?
Because
he's a white
because
man.
Absolutely. And also because, number one, he stacked the Supreme Court while he had the power to with people who would vote in his favor.
Right.
And also because a lot of people have given up on the voting process or even participating in this political process.
It helps
It's
him.
A lot of people sliding through on the municipal and state government levels who are now in Congress. That bitch, Marjorie, whatever her fucking name is.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are sliding through and getting in positions where they're able to vote on things that impact the decision makers who end up in those seats when his behavior has to be assessed or measured according to the law, and who will find a way and figure out some kind of way to turn things in his way. That's why it does matter to vote. That's why you should use
your
right to
vote.
In local all these motherfucking elections, no matter how frustrated we get. I'm fucking frustrated too. I grew up in a religion where we weren't encouraged. We were told we're not supposed to vote. The minute I turned 18, it was able. Oh yeah, you're to be no part of this world, and you believe you trust in God's government, not man's. That's the idea. That's the logic. The ideology.
I never knew that part.
The minute I turned 18, I participated in voting, and I was part actively involved in the political process because that was my choice. That's what I wanted to do. Right. So it hits a little bit different for me. I hear so many people who express frustration and are saying they're opting out of voting, and then have the same kind of question like you just posed, friend. How is he able to still run with all of these very real felony charges and shit, all this litigation? It's because of shit like that. And that's exactly why it is important for us to vote. You know, otherwise we could just take it back to the Handmaid's Tale and Roots. That's where we're going to end up.
I mean, it's already,
you know what I'm saying?
In that direction.
They literally telling women they cannot get abortions. And Trump and all these other Republicans are speaking openly about a national abortion ban. You can't even get fucking IVF in Alabama because they consider the fucking embryo to be a person, and it's murder, all this crazy ass shit. So, like, y'all keep thinking that's funny and thinking that when Trump was in office, we got checks. Keep thinking like that. You know what I'm saying? And when your ass is on the wall, you'll understand exactly why. I hope your check helps. You know, Joe Biden got a lot of problems, but I'm not voting for Trump.
This is the Friend Zone.
This here podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Even the spice, all in one place, all on your terms. Now you can get started with one of Squarespace's professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. Now you can make any Squarespace template do what you want so that your idea, your brand, and your business stand out online on every single device. With Squarespace, you can easily sell merch and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. Design your products and production, inventory and shipping, all of that is handled for you, saving you time and money. Now you can use insights to grow your business and learn where your site visits and sales are coming from and analyze which channels are most effective. All of that is so key to success online. You can improve your website. You can build a marketing strategy and do all that based on your top keywords or most popular products and content. Squarespace has provided so many of our industry peers as a hosting platform for their website services. Everybody's been happy. That's why we've long been partnering with Squarespace on this show to advertise for their product, which we love and use. Squarespace gets it right, and they get it right every time. Now, you can go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, you can go to squarespace.com/friendzone. To save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain at squarespace.com/friendzone.
And that, what's that guy? I was trying to find him. You didn't see the, wait, what's his name? Is it Mark Robinson, who just got the Republican nomination for North Carolina as governor? The black dude that he was saying.
I want to go back to her women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like the make America great again that he's looking for is when women weren't voting. And this went
in
viral.
2024, a black man. And where did you say he had gotten? He was what? The Republican nominee for what?
North Carolina.
Governor of a whole state. You know how much power the governor has? States' rights, they say. So, y'all think about that shit when you're talking that shit and thinking it's cute to be contrarian for the sake of, or thinking it's cute to be anti this and anti that. And I'm not, and hoteps and all that shit. Keep on. And when your hotep is pregnant, okay, and you're trying to figure out what the fuck you want to do and you can't do nothing about it,
you gotta cross state lines.
Crazy, Carlos King be saying happy birthday. Okay. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Love you, Carlos. But yeah, like, that's why all that shit matters, you know.
I don't know, y'all.
Anyway, yeah, you know I do. You can't fuck around with it. You know what I'm saying? We have to be diligent and proactive when it comes to that kind of shit. No matter how involved you want to be in the political process, no matter how much of a point you want to prove or how much you want the government to understand that they are fucking us up, you have to vote in order for this shit to move. Because if not, you're leaving yourself vulnerable to all kinds of harm.
All kinds of policies.
I ain't trying to tell nobody what to do. I'm just saying what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying?
And that's on what? Mm-hmm. Menstrual.
Okay. Oh, God. Don't get Jade started.
Love you, Jade.
Love you, Jade.
Hi, we had to have a... That's how I call it. Well, that's what my mom calls it. We had to fun and heavy episode, because I feel like that's just, as the internet would say, duality of the thing. Mm-hmm. Or duality is the thing.
We love her too.
We do.
Felt like an episode of Love is Blind.
Oh God, don't even get me fucking started.
Episode drops since you said tonight it was too.
Fun and heavy.
Have we talked about Clay leaving her at the altar yet?
We did on Patreon, remember?
Okay,
we did,
but not
the live
over here.
With XD. Yeah, but if you want to bring that on over.
Well, I'm just saying, if that was my lighten sister, I'd be mood. Whooping ass. I was surprised that it went.
I
as
heard they're still together.
I
heard they're still together. It hasn't been confirmed, but there was a clip of her and him with like his family or something, and people were like, "Oh,
I did see that video."
Yeah, and so it got deleted. So I don't know.
AD means a dummy. Okay, you got it then. All right, we got that then.
Remember
okay.
after he went up and talked to her, she was like, "This doesn't mean I'm leaving." I just couldn't. You know,
I couldn't believe she let him come
in
that damn room.
Can I have a hug? I was like, "Is he? Uh-huh. How old is this guy? Can I have a hug? This isn't funny, bozo."
Me either. They should have kept the camera on his brother anyway. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, you didn't.
His name was Lakes, and I was like, Hughes?
As long as we stayed away from the daddy.
His dad pissed me off.
Not saying shit ass.
That mama got his ass right where she needed to. She said, "You got me. but you wasn't good to me.
Okay, with her shawl. Said,
we don't talk about it. And walked off.
And walked off. She did that.
That's Women's History Month right there, okay? She let his ass, and he stood there looking so dumb and stupid.
Now, here's a question I have for you. Do you think Clay's answer would have been different if the dad hadn't popped up? Do you think he had any type of effect on
I do answer? Think he had an effect.
Because something Clay, about what he was telling Clay just felt like Clay started ruminating a lot after that man came in that room, right?
And he's already been so vocal about how, you know, my dad cheated and that's why I feel this way about marriage. I'm scared to get married and shit. So he has a weird fixation on his dad's behavior when it comes to relationships or whatever.
That's why I say no, because I feel like if his daddy wasn't there, he was going to see whatever he'd been seeing this entire process, because he keep bringing up his daddy. Like, I don't know if he actually walked in on his daddy up in something, because he always brings, like, you know, I was there when he was going on dates and stuff. But he was taking him, you know,
to meet like, the women he was cheating with and shit.
So imagine your daddy not being there at the altar, and then you looking around and you thinking about being taken there again. And you're like, I can't do this. Like, I feel like he was going to say no either. I mean, exactly. Because why did you even come here?
And okay, yes. What your parents go through 1,000% of affects you, how you, your trust issues, how you view love, excuse it. We absolutely know this, but that that has got to change, OD. Brother. You're an adult. Get the help. Get the
and
help.
You sound stupid. First get of the all, help. You, he flat out said, I asked myself, was I ready to get married or no? I said, no. Then I asked myself, am I completely head over heels in love? And I said, no. There it is right there.
Yeah,
I think that he oversold himself on the concept of being able to do this, marry somebody sight unseen that he really didn't know. I think that he literally got cold feet. I don't think he was that into AD, at least not in that 30-day window. Yeah. And you know, and I think he wasn't shit for waiting for her to get to literally walk up to the altar to say no on that show, whether that was for the sake of TV or not. It seemed very cruel.
I think it has
her.
To do with money. I think it has to do with money. Because do y'all remember that season that in there, when what was that Latin girl that she cheated with the boxer dude that had the cauliflower ear? Remember she cheated on the poet dude.
Yeah.
So remember there was a text that got exposed by one of her friends poet or something. Dude. Wasn't he a poet? Maybe he looked like a poet.
I don't know why this just hit me. I was
he gave a like poet, you know.
Remember he was like he gave poet.
So I can't remember his name. I can't remember it either.
Donald. Well, remember Mitchell, they said you was get, it Mitchell?
Is it Mitchell? Because that feels right. So she, she said in the text, I gotta try to make it to the end because you got paid per episode, and then you got paid like something big if you made it to the altar. So I think that was most people's motives. They didn't give a fuck. They were trying to get that full
Marshall.
See,
and Jackie.
Mitchell was close. I was feeling it.
See, I was close. See?
But I think that's what it comes down to. It's a financial thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going through this show, I'm getting the full fucking cost of it. You know what I'm saying?
I also feel like he wasn't lying with his first statement in the pods.
Which was what? That he shit? What did he say?
He said he told AD, well, maybe not his first statement, but one of the first things that he said to AD, because he made it a point to say, if you all look like, you know, a 10, I ain't leaving here with you, all that. Da, da, da.
Oh, God.
But then he tried to humble him. And I mean, well, he didn't say 10, but you know, he was basically trying to make it seem like if whoever he saw wasn't fine, he was, you know, going to try to marry him. And I feel like maybe he did see her. And after he was like, you know, I'm not going to be like that. He was going to try to be a good guy and not do that. And then maybe that couple with finances, like, you know, this really ain't giving wife because like she already wasn't looking how
beautiful,
really want
so
to look.
He's fucking she tripping. Is beautiful. And some I just women feel like from Clay his past doing a bunch came of bullshit. Up. And I saw bullshit. Pictures.
See? More bullshit.
And that kind of blew me because I'm like, well, hold on. If I'm
she looked better than him.
What?
Of course she does.
Like by a lot though. So
AD is bad as fuck. It just was the hair thing, but like as far as how she
but
looked,
hair can be AZ, fixed.
Exactly.
That's
AD
nothing.
Was bad as fuck. So like, I just think Clay. I don't know.
And I mean, hey, y'all, if you're not attracted to someone, you're not. Like, that's just is what it is. But then grow up. And why are you going on a show about love being mm-hmm. blind? That's number mm-hmm. one. Yep. If you know that you have to have a 10 or whatever he said. I remember that. He was like the ass and the lips and the face or whatever.
That wasn't the first thing. It was like the second or third thing. Because remember, like, it was like him and AD was vibing. And then it was like a... Because he was all like, you know, looks matter. And she it's got like, irritated. Why do looks matter?
She's like, why are you trying to ask me what I look like? The whole premise of the show is to fall in love with me without knowing what I look
and
like.
Maybe he tried to come back that next time.
For who she was talking to. So that's what I would have had pictures of. What do you look like? Because the way you just pronounced that word. So then the next time
he tried to come back and be all like, well, you know, I thought about it. And of course, you know, I ride for you, AD. And, you know,
well,
he knew
she was black. Her middle name was Desiree.
And that's the thing, right. He just knew she was black. So he's like, you know, Desiree, she black, you know. Come Netflix on. Ain't gonna pick no ugly black girl. So, you know, she gonna be something. Sure, I don't know what the fuck he told himself. Well, you know, whatever nigga try to
say no
himself.
Names, but like, they have picks on. At least one well, Clay, I can think of for sure.
Clay came, Clay, he claimed that he hadn't seen the show and he'd come on anyway or whatever, so.
I feel like people know. Just doing stuff to do
Maybe
stuff.
He was there just for the check.
Yeah. Check and cloud. These people have businesses. He had a what was yeah. it? Ski
Airbnb
jet ski
or
business or something. Yeah. Something like that. You know? Yeah. It's promo. Something. It's the jet best promo road. You could get. You are on Netflix for uh-huh. 4 and 5 weeks straight. Best promo you could get. We should,
he can come
we
back
should
whenever
go
they
on
do
there.
Those. What was that? What was that other Netflix dating show?
We should go where they had all the like, other people. The Friend Zone podcast. That
no, not the ultimatum. The show where they had all the people in the different houses come in and like date.
Hell, I don't know.
Wait, which one?
Friend, you know what I'm talking about? Netflix had a dating show mm-hmm. where they had all the different people from the Netflix shows come on to date. It was like people from, because I remember Colony.
Oh,
and
then we did the recap on Patreon.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Wasn't
so
that, no, that wasn't the ultimatum. What was that called?
I can't remember what it was called. I don't remember either. Because you know, Netflix does all these damn shows. But the thing is.
Because we were making fun of that Clay Canadian dude that was crying.
Yeah.
No, the one that looked like Reggie Miller's sister.
Don't start. Don't start.
The one that was known for the
Cheryl, world. Cheryl Miller.
I was like, what the fuck is this? But anyway, now that Clay's been on here, he can go through the little feeder system and get on a show like that. So,
wait, was it
like,
perfect match?
Point,
perfect match or something?
Perfect match. That's what it was.
That's what it
perfect
was.
Match.
Perfect match.
Because the dude, people from the circle were on mm-hmm. there. Like it was a bunch of the Netflix
Brilliant.
People just trying to find love. Mm-hmm. So now Clay can go on the perfect match on the next season with some other people.
Some more options for the black girls. That's what we need. Well, right. maybe not because he's savage. We don't need black girls dealing with no more of that shit.
Right. He's a savage.
No, y'all, when he told her you got that shit on and gave her a dap, or maybe he didn't give her
body.
A nap. He was helping
he, okay,
her up.
Body. Remember?
And he said,
"You,
you
know,
got that
for
shit
me,
on.
Everybody was being gay." And that's that.
No,
like,
because
you
no.
said something about that before too, Dustin.
This
Who's
is my wedding.
Joking?
Don't talk to me like that.
And they're joking and laughing about stuff that's not funny. The white boy that had the lion mane haircut. What's his name? The one that didn't want to, the one that was really bent on finances and didn't want to have, they weren't fucking because he didn't want to get her pregnant on accident.
Oh, he was like
with the lion
fixating
the one
on
that got
shit.
Married.
The
yeah,
lion.
Yeah. Then he have a little lion. He had like the lion mane.
The only one that got married.
He looked like a lion. Yeah.
No,
little
but
white,
did y'all,
the white lion.
Did y'all fast forward through that part?
Yes.
Of course. That's why I can't remember his damn name now.
I really yeah. hate that for them because I know Netflix noticed and was like, dang, people skipped on this.
Wow, the only couple that got married and nobody saw it.
Well, we were
and
just
I
coming
never
off of being
seen
pissed.
No shit like that. Only two couples in the last episode. I was like, I fast forwarded because I was like, wait, is it just these two? Am I missing somebody? Did I miss a couple? No one else made it.
Mm-mm. I knew what I was doing.
I applaud them too.
Look. I paid attention to the couples excusing themselves. I knew what I was there
and
for.
And Jimmy dipped. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Jimmy with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. He dipped.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully, and finally,
but
I was,
why did
I
he
was
do
like,
it like that? Can y'all explain to me in Men Talk, why did he do it like that? Why didn't he dip when it was time to dip?
Because he was tired of her and he was trying to hold on as long as he could. But he just was like, I have got to do it eventually. I think he drug it out to the last minute.
But why talk about dresses and wedding and picking shit out and groomsmen and like why do all that?
Well, because he's a bitch. So he wasn't strong enough to be like, you know what? I don't like you like that. Let's just
and fuck
you.
Want to see,
he wanted to see Nick Lachey one more time, you know, before the reunion, I guess. I don't know. Like it was just something to do.
I really hated. Like, I really hated her, though.
She was intense really, for me.
I knew she was going to hurt her when she lied in the pot. She was when she was like making pots. I was like, oh, hell no, nah, bitch.
Every time she started.
And then
started,
we progressed from there.
Yeah, every time she started with a whining about something, I was like, oh, my God.
Snot, wet lip ass. I'm so tired of her. Always crying about something, getting drunk. Being awkward with his family and friends and shit, pants all hiked up under her titties every time you see her.
Oh my God.
I can't see what to put your reputation.
Oh my God. You know that she had a high waist. you know she had a high waist.
I'm curious to hear her talk about herself on the reunion. I hope they ask her.
She's going
to
be delusional.
Like, looking back now, Chelsea, that's the question I want to hear. What do you think of yourself?
Do you feel stupid?
Yeah. Fran, text me right after you see it. She's going to be delusional.
I'm watching it tomorrow as soon as it drops. Oh, well, we're recording in the morning, but afterwards I'm watching.
Oh, I was about to say, if it come out at 3 a.m. tonight, yeah, we're gonna have a conversation tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an insufferable woman. Jesus.
I did not believe I was gonna be watching this season, and here I am with all of these gems of more trash.
They're just
people.
So good. They get me every time.
The black boy that went and got his hair done, you know who I'm talking about.
Don't start.
Wrist.
Anyway, even him, he had that lion haircut. I seen his ass. I guess him and that girl.
When he took him out.
They did a TikTok or whatever recently. They was sharing space. And
wait, him and
the
white girl he left? Oh,
yep.
See.
She pointed at a room or something like that. And then he walked up. People going to say, what was that? He walked out of the closet.
People didn't say that, Dustin.
They did. I promised the God in heaven. That wasn't me that time. I promise you. That wasn't me that time. I'm going to give credit where it's due.
Seems believable.
But when he walked out, though, he had that lion haircut like that white boy did.
Stop. How does he have a Leo lion haircut? Lion. He took his braids out.
He had it, yeah, and it was just, you know.
It was natural. Shout out to
he
YouTube.
Yeah,
he boom. Cantu.
Yeah, he let his hair breathe.
That song's sacred. Okay. Speaking of, Beyonce dropped the vinyl covers. Did y'all see for the new album? And it's called Cowboy Carter. I saw a lot
Cowboy Carter.
A mixed lot reactions. Of mixed feelings about the title.
I saw you tweet.
We'll just call it CC.
Yeah. I personally like Cowboy Carter. Fuck it. That saddle looked like it stunk like real leather. and she had that sash on there. I love
with
it.
A
I love the fact
on
that
it, which I like the connection.
The continuity, right?
Okay, that's the word, the continuity.
If you looked at the color of the vinyls, she had a red one, white one, a blue one,
red.
And a black. The vinyl comes
good,
in red,
Dustin.
White, blue, and black.
I didn't
black.
Catch that.
And I was like, gone, Beyonce. Woo! You know, this some ballsy shit. You
are
know
y'all
what I'm
getting
saying?
Any of this stuff, or is Beyonce done taking your money?
No, I'm getting out
I'm
like
definitely
that white
getting
and red t-shirt.
I definitely want one of the vinyls. I think I'm going to get the blue one.
Blue.
It stuck
play
out
blue.
To me.
Blue. I want it to be successful, and I'm actually interested in this album. I don't listen to country music, but there's something exciting about challenging myself to listen to this album. And I actually like the singles are good. I actually like them. And that rock, that guitar riff at the end of 16 Carriages makes me really excited for the rumors to be true that her third act of this three-act project is a rock album.
Yeah.
I have high hopes, and I don't want to speak too prematurely. I want to be in the moment and enjoy this album, so I'm not jumping ahead here.
Stay present.
I just, the end of 16 Carriages and that guitar is so beautiful to me. It just makes me want to, you know.
And that lookbook that she recently did, she had like the mullet, you know, like I feel like it's going to be rock. It's giving that.
I just can't wait.
I almost had a heart attack. I thought my thing had stopped recording.
I saw your face. Not us having PTSD. Ooh, when I saw I saw Dustin check out. He just was like.
I swear to God.
I saw it.
You know where it says 99% uploading at the top of your screen?
Mm-hmm.
There was something that changed there. It said something and
then it
looked,
didn't.
I felt like.
Yeah, so for our listeners, y'all don't even know. Was this last week's episode or the week before that? We had been recording and then realized that the counter said it only recorded 59 seconds. And we were like an hour and a half in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, our souls left our bodies. This was actually the Bible study episode because it was your episode. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And we prayed. Mm. Okay.
We did. And look,
Bible episode, amen. We prayed. Yeah.
God is good because the episode.
God said, I saved it.
Amen.
we were saying it again. Don't worry. And we was like, oh, okay. Woo. We got it. So,
and we got
thank
it.
God
thank
for
God.
That.
My, thank you. Because it was so was perfect. Like you said, we couldn't recreate that, the reactions to the story. You just can't do
no.
that. So.
This show thank isn't God. Scripted. We use an outline of preparation right. and research, but this right. is not a show where we're following a script. All mm-hmm. of the jokes and the colloquialisms and catchphrases and shit, that's in the moment, real time comedy.
Inside jokes.
On yeah. all of our behalf. And so I just don't, you know, I don't like the assumption that we can do it again. You know what I'm saying? This is, we cooking from scratch here, you know?
With that being said, do you guys have anything else you want to touch on before we get up on out of here?
Nah, not me.
Right? I think this was a good shoot the shit episode. A little sad, a little funny.
I think we did that.
A little pop culture. All right.
I'm excited about Cardi B's new. I'm excited about Cardi B's new single. I will
Me
say
too.
That.
Me too. I saw the snippet.
Miami.
Her hair.
The cover is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the video and the rollout, just the full out Cardi B rollout.
And congratulations to Davine Joy Randolph on snatching that motherfucking Oscar, Best Supporting Actress. You know what I'm saying? For her role in The Holdovers. She won. Yep. She won. I really
beautiful.
I was happy to see that. Yep, yeah. She's a great actor, and you know, she gave a very beautiful, rousing acceptance speech, and I'm happy for her. And it was also good to see Regina King on that stage. We know Regina King been through a lot.
She was there.
Mm-hmm. She was there.
See, I didn't watch the Oscars. I missed out.
Yeah,
so.
Same.
That's they had beautiful. Five of the previous winners, and when it came to the four acting categories, Best Supporting Actor and Actress, Best Actor and Actress, they had five of the previous winners on stage to. You know, announced some nominees, and they gave a personal reflection to each nominee. So it's just really beautiful to see.
That's nice.
And wow. see everybody get recognized. But yeah, she won. She got up there and snatched that motherfucking Oscar.
Cord
Jefferson, he won for Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction, which was an incredible, yeah. incredible film.
Oh,
I don't know if y'all.
Yeah.
I finally saw it. Yeah. I told you it was sold out for fucking weeks.
It was good. So that was, I like to see that.
Oh, and shout out to Issa who, mm-hmm. it cracked me up. I don't know if you saw this. She went to Oberlin in that movie. She mentioned her alma mater.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
France.
You know, you repping the most random shit. I was like, yes.
Okay.
No, but it was, you know, I just saw a connection there. It was a good,
it is.
It was a good movie though. But I saw people wearing his ass about his statements. Did you see that? There was mixed feelings.
Which is fine. He still won.
But he was basically saying, you know, the black stories should have more range outside mm-hmm. of the hood. And what was it? Was it slavery? I don't want to put words in his mouth. But
basically, yeah. And yeah. he also encouraged the studios to use the budgets
more
wisely
projects.
To support these sort of projects. He said a lot of great things about black art and black talent in that acceptance speech as a Black Academy Award winner. So I'm personally choosing to focus on that. I hate the fact that people take advantage of opportunities like this where we could be, I don't want to say should, where we could be celebrating as a staff, a record label, and a motherfucking crew, like Tupac said. You know, when these black people are winning these awards and shit, someone has to infuse some sort of alternative perspective that ends up being skewed. Might not have even been their original intention, right? But it ends up being skewed to a negative direction by all of the people that join in. And I hate that. I really hate that. So,
yeah,
congratulations to Cord Jefferson.
The movie was great. I love Jeffrey Wright. It was great to see Issa because she's killing it on the screen right now. Yes. So,
and Erica Alexander.
Did you get to see it, Asante?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and Erica Alexander. Absolutely. Yep.
Hell, who played the mama? The mama. What's her name? Was that Leslie Uggams that played the mama? That had the Alzheimer's. Hold on. Let me see what the mama's name was because that's black royalty. Let me see.
I'm like, am I missing? I don't remember who the mama was.
Yeah, Leslie Uggams. She was in American Fiction. She played the mother. Hold on. And Leslie Uggams is an old school, talented black actor. You know her.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's Leslie Uggams.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
She played the mother that was
she
suffering.
She did a great job.
Yeah, if you're on Patreon, I don't know, but it was for you. So you all can see who we're talking about. but yeah, shout out to Leslie Uggams. She done gave a lot to entertainment.
That's
you
dope.
Know, we didn't see her for a long time, so gone. I like the fact that this movie reintroduced us to some beloved black actors like Erica Alexander. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She should have been getting the shine she's getting.
Yeah, and we're seeing her. Got, we're seeing her a lot more. I feel
that I'm press. That press, her.
Yeah, which is
picking
so
up. PR doing their job now. You know what I'm saying?
Amen to that. Our icons.
Good for her. Yeah. That's it now.
That's it for us. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. And we will catch you guys next week. Watch the program on Netflix. So we'll talk about it.
Program on Netflix, y'all.
Program. We're watching. We'll talk about it next week.
All get with the program. All right.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Love you guys. Bye. This is the